I spend the night in Great Falls thinking about the next day when I will cross the border. Now understand, I already landed back in March, but I had nothing with me, so now I have to go across the border with my tightly packed truck. I was required months ago to declare what I was bringing across, and I had that list with me. That day, I visited the Chief Joseph battlegrounds at Bear Paw near Chinook, where Joseph and his tribe of Nez Perce were cornered by General Howard. Bear Paw is their last stand, 40 miles from the Canadian border. They believed if they could cross that border, they would be free. Chief Joseph didn't want to sell their land and move to Idaho. He thought he'd made an agreement with the federal government, but the feds reversed their decision and sent Howard in to move Chief Joseph out of the way. Unfortunately, guns were fired, supplies were pillaged and burned, and suddenly Joseph found himself fleeing north with 800 of his people. I visited the battleground. I was the only one there. There's no building there. It's a grassland with knolls, and it reminded me of the hills outside of Chadron, Nebraska. Like a medieval Taze circle, you can walk around this path and see where Joseph's men hunkered down, where the women and children were, where the bullets struck rocks. It was cold in October after the Nez Perce had outmaneuvered the general for 3 months. But in this place where you had little cover, they were trapped. In the distance, you could see the mountains on the other side of the Canadian border. I was moved by their attempt. I stayed there for an hour, and foolishly I thought maybe my journey was to complete their journey. Actually, some of them made it across the border, the woman at the museum in Chinook told me, but they didn't stay. Canadian bands didn't want the Nez Perce on their land and refused to give them food or shelter, and the people who struggled to get across the border the first time ended up crossing back, worn out and starved. Chief Joseph surrendered and his people were taken to Oklahoma, and I know how far that is from here. So I reverently remembered them, bought a woven strand of sweetgrass, and got in my truck and headed to the border. I discovered Stan Rogers back in Whitehorse, and as I went to Sweetgrass, the border town on this side of the border, I was playing a whole mess of Stan Rogers songs.
For just one time, I would take the Northwest Passage.
There was hardly any traffic on the road. I could have been driving off the edge of the world. When I reached Sweetgrass, I was nervous and excited. This was my first big crossing. I was carrying my life with me in the truck. When I got in line, I rolled down the windows and started cranking out Northwest Passage at full volume. I was so uber-Canadian.
For just one time.
When I got to the border, I handed over all the necessary paperwork. The man said I had to come inside so I could import my truck, since I didn't do that yet. So I pulled in, and I walked inside with all the paperwork I had, and the Canadians were very nice people. Very friendly, they joked with each other behind the counters, and they joked with us. They asked me about the title for the truck. Well, I didn't have one because I was still making payments. Oh, they said, have you exported the vehicle first? Because first you have to export the vehicle, and then you have to import the vehicle. I hadn't done that. Well, they said they'd need to have written permission from my bank that I was indeed making payments on the truck and that I would keep doing that in Canada. They said a fax would do, but I needed to check with the Americans on what they wanted. So I went over to the American side. No one talked to anyone else over there. They were very serious. When they discovered I hadn't exported my truck before I crossed that border, they were not happy. I showed them the truck and the parking lot. We hadn't gone anywhere. They needed written permission, and they weren't going to accept a fax. You have two choices. You and your stuff are allowed in, but you have to leave the truck. Or you can go get the bank's written permission, the actual original copy. I got back in my truck and turned around and came back into the States. I was crushed. I'd been on the road for 3 weeks, and I had plans to do things on the other side of that border. I drove to the nearest town, Shelby, Montana, and got a room in the Crossroads Motel. Really, it was named Crossroads. And I called my bank and asked them to sign and send the important documents. I lay on my hotel bed for a long while. I read a bit of Chief Joseph's account. I felt really arrogant making any kind of assumptions while I was at Bear Paw that I could make it across the border when most of them hadn't. I finally got up and got pizza. I decided to take the opportunity to learn about Shelby, Montana. I was going to be here for a few days. Shelby's big claim to fame was a 1923 World Heavyweight title match between Jack Dempsey and Tommy Gibbons. It was supposed to just draw attention to the boomtown of Shelby, attract tourists, and get them to invest in the town, much like the Winter Games was to Whitehorse in 2007. In fact, my hotel was sitting on the site of the arena, which was built to host 25,000 spectators. Every night, I slept in the stadium of a great heavyweight title match. I gathered pictures and information about the match. I was here for a reason, and I was going to find that reason. I went to every store in Shelby. Shelby has 3,000 people. I eat Chinese food. I buy a t-shirt, eventually a mocha. I make friends with the staff at the Crossroads Motel. One of the staff brings her puppy for me to play with. His name is Goliath. There was a busload of Americans returning from a trip to Canada, all angry at the delays at the border. And we were all here and we were all frustrated. Strangely enough, we had a great time in our misery and in the stories we told each other. And after I'd thought I'd waited long enough, waited for 3 years to get in, well, I learned to wait again, 3 days, and to enjoy the crazy, frustrated people around me, all trapped in that limbo between the last town in America and the first town in Canada.